All right, so I was confessing my soul to you and letting you know that I have a messy desk and that people are kind enough to remind me of that and point that out quite a bit. And there's just paper and there's different stuff on my desk because people hand me stuff, they send me stuff, they bring me stuff. And so I set stuff down and I intend to get to that stuff, but sometimes I don't always do it. I mean, all of us have got priorities, right? Would you agree with me? We got priorities. You got priorities? Yeah, okay. Be careful. I'm going to trap you with that in just a minute. And so what I do is, because there are certain things that are more pressing, I feel like they're more pressing, I lay aside some of that stuff. And so it sits on top of my desk. And then the next day, it's still there. And sometimes it stays there for a long time. And stuff, you know, kind of piles up. And it's not that I don't like the stuff. I fully intend to get to it. It's just that I've laid it aside because it's not quite a big enough priority to me to take care of at that moment. Are you with me? Okay. God has handed us good news. He's provided us with the way for us to be forgiven of our sins, to be saved from an eternity of condemnation. And not only that, but he's provided for us a way to live an abundant life right now. But you know, we got a lot of stuff that's being handed to us. You got stuff at work. You got your entertainment stuff, your recreation stuff. You've got financial stuff. You got all kinds of stuff. And along with that, here comes God giving you this spiritual stuff. And if we're not careful, you know what we do? I mean, we've all got priorities, right? Yeah, a minute ago you were real quick to agree with me on that. Now you're a little skittish. I would declare the fifth. We've all got our priorities, and so what we do is the stuff that we feel like is important, we deal with that, and the other stuff, what do? Well, we lay it aside. It's not because we're willing to admit that it's not important to us, it's just that we keep telling ourselves we'll decide to do something about that other stuff later. And part of that is because we think we'll have time to deal with it later. I hope you got a copy of the Bible with you this morning, and thanks for being here. I know there are other things you could have done, but here you are. And so if you would open your Bibles to Acts 24, and I want to remind you of a passage. I'm sure you've read it before, heard messages about it. We're going to be reading about something that happened to this guy named Paul. You've heard of him, you've read about him, you've read some of his letters. Well, in the book of Acts, we read about Paul going on these mission trips. He went on three of them. What we're going to read about here is on this third mission trip, against the advice of some of his friends, he ended up in Jerusalem, and while he was there, some Jews stirred up a riot against him, caused quite a bit of commotion. And a Roman commander by the name of Lysias took Paul into custody, partly for his own protection, because the riot, they were getting ready to kill Paul. And he arrested him, and he was the cause of this commotion. And eventually Paul was, because he showed that he was a Roman citizen, he was sent to Caesarea. And to allow the next guy up, to allow Felix, the Roman procurator, governor, to decide what to do with him, what his punishment would be, if there would be any. And so while he is a prisoner of the Romans in Caesarea, there are these charges that have been levied against him, and eventually Felix says that he will eventually take care of him. And so what we're going to look at is where Felix begins to address this problem, this Roman governor. He's beginning to, he's got, I'm sure, a lot of stuff on his desk. Well, he's going to deal with this Paul problem that he's got. Look with me in Acts 24, if you'll look with me. We'll just start in verse 24. It says, but some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned. All right, there's our text. Now, the message is simply this. Here's what I want to encourage you. Whatever it is the next step for you that God is wanting to do in your life. I want to encourage you this morning not to put that off, not to lay that aside, to make it a priority and deal with it. Start working on it. Don't put off what you need to do with the good news about Jesus Christ. And all of you have got that next step. There's something that God is waiting on you to do. Some people put faith in Christ aside because they've never heard the message of Christ. Now, that was not the case for Felix, and that's not the case for you either. But in verse 24, it says that Felix sent for Paul, heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't want to make too big a point about, you know, how literal this was written, but I think it was written this way for to make a point. When Luke wrote it, he seemed to be emphasizing something. He said, quite literally, it says that he heard him concerning, and here's how it's written, the in Christ Jesus kind of faith. There's an article there, the in Christ Jesus kind of faith. So he seems to be putting an emphasis on the kind of faith that Paul was talking to Felix about. See, I got to tell you, Felix is just like everybody you know. They're all believers. Everybody believes in something. Everybody's got faith in something. Felix was a believer. He was a believer in the power of position. He's the procurator of Judea. He's the voice of the Roman emperor in that region. He's the CEO of the Roman government in that region of the world. And the best part about that is that the emperor didn't really bother Felix. As long as Felix kept the peace and made sure the taxes got collected, Felix was good to go. Felix knew about the power of position. He was a believer. He knew about the power of financial stability. As procurator of the Judean area, even though it was the backwater area of the Roman Empire, he was well paid. You've been around Bible study enough that you've heard this little word denarius, and you know that represents one day's wage for the common guy in that day and age. So the common guy, common laborer in that time in history, they would make 325 denarii a year. That was their annual salary, 325 denarii. You know what Felix was making? A Roman procurator, I can't tell you exactly what he was making, but he's making somewhere between 15,000 and 50,000 denarii a year. Now, let's get this down to dollars and cents where we can kind of measure it a little bit better. Let's just pick a number and say that the common laborer is going to make in first century Aubrey, about $30,000 a year. If that's that's what common day laborer is going to make, the procurator of Aubrey is going to make between $1.5 and $5 million a year. Felix is a believer. He's a believer in the power of financial stability. I mean, his greed is well documented. You didn't have to preach to him about what the dollar can do for you. He knew. Felix is a believer in the power of self. Nobody needed to preach to Felix about if you want it, you can have it. Historians don't know much about Felix's wife, Drusilla, except that we've been led to believe that what she lacked in good looks. Thank you for not naming my granddaughter Drusilla. Okay? But apparently Drusilla was an attractive woman. So much so that Felix saw her when she was another man's wife, a little-known king, and he did everything he could and eventually won the day, and he got her for himself. So you don't need to tell Felix about it. If you want it, you can go get it. Believe in yourself. You know, everybody's got faith in something. Nothing's changed about that. And certainly Felix had faith in the power of position. There are people today who work hard, climb the corporate ladder, climb the ladder, get themselves in that supervisory role because they believe that there'll be stability in that. There's hope in that. So they work hard to get that because they believe in that. There's some people that believe in financial stability. That's why they don't care what day it is. They're going to work because they've got to make the dollar. There's some people that believe in the power of self, that they can do it. They feel good about themselves. It was important for Felix then, who was a believer in a lot of things, to hear about the in Christ Jesus kind of faith. Because see, that's different. That's putting your hope and trust in something else other than those other things. It was important for Felix to hear that God loved him, wanted him to have an abundant, everlasting life. It was important for Felix to hear that no matter how good a job he had, no matter how much money he had, no matter how good he felt about himself and what he was able to do on his own, that none of that was going to make him right with God. It was important for Felix to hear that the only way that he could have the life that God wanted him to have, the only way that Felix could have a certainty that he was going to spend eternity in heaven, was to hear about the in Christ Jesus kind of faith that requires you to put your trust and faith in him. And it's important for us to hear that as well. Everybody you know is a believer. But everybody you know needs to hear about the in Christ Jesus kind of faith, because it's a whole lot different than all those other faiths. You can believe in a lot of things, but it's not until you stand up, step out, and put your faith in Christ that you can have a certainty that God's going to let you spend eternity in heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me," he said, himself. It's unfortunate that there are some who, somewhere in the world, have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. It's even more unfortunate when those who have heard it lay it aside because it's just not a big enough priority. Some people put faith in Jesus because, not because they haven't heard, they don't understand. Now, when Paul explained the gospel to Felix, Luke tells us in Acts that Paul spoke specifically to him about three things. Did you see the list? About righteousness, about self-control, and about the judgment to come. Righteousness has to do with what's just, what's right. It means to be right with God. And while I cannot say for sure what Paul told Felix, I can assume that he told him what he told other people. For instance, he told the Philippians that he had a lot of good things going for him, but none of that stuff made him right with God. Listen to what Paul said to the Philippians. "I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." See, I think Paul told him simply the truth, same thing he told everybody else, is that the only way God's going to declare you to be not guilty of your sins and to be right with him is when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? I know he told him about self-control, and again, I can't say for sure what Paul told Felix about self-control, but I think it'd be consistent with what he told other people about it. He wrote to the Romans that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, then God then gives you a down payment of all of his promises yet to come. He gives you himself, the presence of his Holy Spirit in your life. He told the Galatians that when the Spirit of God is in your life, the Spirit of God is going to manifest itself in some way. It's going to make himself evident in your life. And he went through a list with the Galatians about what that's going to look like. And one of those things was self-control. He wrote his friend Titus that once people have truly received the grace of God, that they understand that they are, quote, to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. I think Paul just simply told Felix the same thing he told everybody else, and that is that when the Spirit of God comes into your life will be different. It's a fact. The Spirit of God will begin to show himself. And one of those areas that he'll show himself is in the area of self-control. He talked to him about the judgment to come, and certainly any explanation of the in Christ Jesus kind of faith would involve some discussion about the judgment to come. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew 25. He said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and put the goats on his left. Now, there's a lot that's not said there. For instance, there's no debate at that point when the Son of Man comes to do this. No debate about whether you're a sheep or a goat. That will already be decided by that point. Simple truth of the gospel is, in John 3:18, he who does not believe has been judged already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it was important for Felix, not just to hear, but to understand that every wrong thought he'd ever thought, every wrong deed he'd ever done, all that was going to be punished by God unless somehow he had forgiveness and somehow he was declared to be right with God. It was important for Felix not just to hear, but to understand that only those people who put their faith in Christ have available to them this presence of God's Holy Spirit that will show itself through their lives. It was important for Felix not just to hear, but to understand that when the judgment to come finally comes, God won't be giving invitations then. It'll be decided at that point. It was important for Felix not just to hear, but to understand. And the scripture says that when Paul talked to him about these things, you see how Felix responded? He became frightened, it said. The word literally means he was struck with fear or trembling. I don't know if his knees got weak, he couldn't stand. And I'm just wondering, how is it that a man with so much power at his disposal, how is it that a man who had sat in judgment of hundreds of other people before, who was going to sit in judgment about what would happen to Paul, how is it that a man with that kind of power, that kind of position, how is it that he could be so frightened by words? You know what I think? I think he understood them. And I think he knew when Paul was talking about righteousness that he remembered how guilty he was. I think when Paul talked about self-control, he remembered what a lack of it he had. I think when Paul talked about the judgment to come, I think Felix knew he wasn't ready to face that day. What are you thinking? So having understood all of this, Felix then said, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you. You know what he's doing? He's laying it aside. I mean, we got priorities, right? That can wait, right? Third thing. Nobody puts faith in Jesus aside, though. When they finally come to that point, that it becomes a priority. I feel sure that Paul gave Felix an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ, just like I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a few moments. And all Felix needed to do would be the same thing that you would need to do this morning, and that would be simply admit that you have a need for forgiveness of your sins. You have no confidence that you have that. You admit that you are not right before God. You're a good person. Everybody thinks so. But when you measure you in accordance to the standard of Christ, you come up short and you need His forgiveness. You have to admit that. Second, you have to believe that Jesus paid the penalty. He took care of the punishment for you. He died on the cross for you. And third, you need to admit and agree with God that only Jesus Christ can be the thing that you put your trust in. Only He can become your Lord and your Savior. He becomes the boss. So you start putting your trust in Him, in His Word, and not in the other things that you've grown to learn to trust in. Felix decided to not decide. Felix decided to put faith aside. Now, I know I'm old. I'm older than Eli. Eli, how old are you?
27.
Oh, my goodness, I'm older than you. But even though I'm old, I didn't know Felix. But if I was a betting Baptist, I would bet that he really didn't think he was choosing an eternity in hell. I'm sure he thought he'd get back to it. That eventually a time would come. And so he just pushed it aside for now. Because, I mean, after all, we all got priorities, right? And putting his faith in Jesus Christ was not a priority for him. And quite honestly, the simple truth is, hell will not be any cooler for him. There'll be no less gnashing of teeth for him, simply because he had good intentions of getting around to it. Won't be that way. There's an old preacher story about a guy who died, and in his will, he actually wrote in his will that he left his entire estate to the devil. Imagine that. Going to leave his entire estate at his death to the devil. Well, when that went to probate court, they weren't quite sure what to do with it. They had to talk about that one a while. They weren't really quite sure how do you will things over to the devil. And so they finally had to make a decision, and here was the decision. It is decided that the best way to carry out the wish of the deceased is to allow the farm to grow weeds, to allow the soil of the farm to erode and let the house and the barn just eventually rot and fall down. In the story, the judge said, in our opinion, the best way to leave something to the devil is just don't do anything. Just lay it aside. Few of us would ever admit to giving our life to the devil. Because, I mean, after all, we show up at church on occasion. But you know what? Unfortunately, the thing that really burdens my heart is there likely is very somebody here this morning, and they're going to walk out of here, and they're not going to, you know what they're going to do? They're going to push it aside one more time. Because they think they got time. But you don't know. I never thought my retina would tear. All of a sudden, there was a flash of light. You don't know how much time you got. I'm not trying to scare you into doing something, but here's the deal. We've all got priorities. So when is Jesus Christ going to become your priority? Well, you're a believer. You may be a believer in the power of position. You may be a believer in hard work and moral standards, but none of that's going to help you. What you need is the in Christ Jesus kind of faith. So my question is, do you have that? And if you don't, what are you going to do? Are you just going to lay it aside one more time? I would encourage you to act on what you know God is tugging on your heart to do. And that is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer.